This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tetrahydrocannabinol. This is the psychoactive compound in cannabis commonly known as THC. For much of America's history, cannabis was widely produced and readily available, from the colonial days until well after the Civil War, grown both for use as industrial hemp and for human consumption. Unfortunately, like much policy in the U.S., fear of minorities caused a reversal of progress. In the early 20th century, Mexican immigrants who entered the nation following their home country's revolution became associated with recreational use of cannabis, and the drug was stigmatized. During the 1920s and 30s, pot was labeled as a cause of violent crime, which led to the drug being prohibited state by state and then nationwide, and fear of the so-called marijuana menace peaked with the 1936 propaganda film, Reefer Madness. A ratchet effect ensued for decades, as the 1950s saw the introduction of mandatory minimums, the 70s saw the creation of the DEA, and the 80s the ruinous war on drugs, leading to countless marijuana users, growers, and sellers serving needless prison terms. But in the 90s, it finally began to unwind as former hippies reached middle age and the comparative mildness of marijuana versus other illegal and even legal drugs became undeniable. In 1996, California passed Proposition 215 and became the first state in the nation to legalize marijuana for medicinal purposes. 20 years later, voters passed Proposition 64, which legalized recreational usage in the Golden State, though the glacial pace of congressional action means the drug remains illegal at the federal level under 1970's Controlled Substances Act. Still, given the open operation of dispensaries and bud tenders in major California cities, the drug is de facto decriminalized, and not just here, but along the entire left coast, as Nevada, Oregon, Washington, and even Alaska are among the 9 states with legal recreational use. Though it must be noted, here and nationwide, thousands of nonviolent pot users, disproportionately Black and Latino, remain in prison under onerous drug laws. So why this topic for a podcast focused on chain restaurants? Well, the consumption of cannabis has one notable neurological effect, inducing the release of beta endorphins that stimulate the appetite, a phenomenon colloquially known as the munchies. This week, a special 420 Doughboys. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, alongside my co-host, Gets No Action Bronson, Mitchie Two Spoons, Mike Mitchell.
Oh, making fun of my sex life.
that insult was courtesy of Ryan Wells. If you have an insult you like me, use mentions at the show, roastspoonman@gmail.com. Guys saying you're having a dry spell.
Yeah,
perpetual dry spell.
I heard the insult. I was looking at things that I wanted to talk about.
Yes,
to you.
We have like a notes app with topics of conversation.
I did. I wrote down stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Wally pulled down a curtain onto my borrow couch. Mm-hmm. I already hit that.
Right. Well, we discussed that on the Doughboys double that came out this week.
Yeah.
But you should do it again for the non-Patreon subscribers. Tell us the fucking curtain story again. Wally, I forgot that I have to sit through all this bullshit in the morning in the beginning of an episode. And you're fucking looking at your phone for small talk. That's the most socio... That's a Nick Weiger thing. Yes, hello, friend. You are... Insert name here.
I know why that I wanted... Because there was 2 things I wanted to say.
Yes.
One is that for the first time ever... In Hollywood, a brand sent me something.
Oh, okay.
But hold on, it's not cool. Because we did behind the scenes things on Love, and my character mentioned Mountain Dew, and so then Mountain Dew sent me 4 20-ounce bottles of Mountain Dew.
Wow, very on theme.
The strangest gift I've ever received. I loved it. I'm very thankful. I love Dew. I love Diet Dew.
Right.
Retail value of $6?
$6. If they sent a Dew hat, I would have worn a Dew hat around town. But it was 4 bottles of Mountain Dew, 4 20-ounce bottles of Mountain Dew, wrapped. It probably cost more to ship than but because I did some back like behind the scenes stuff on Love where I mentioned Mountain Dew, it was my character. It wasn't even me.
And they know what they're doing with those four 20-ounce bottles. There gets a little wink there.
Well, it's very zeitgeisty, very topical for the 4 20 ounces.
Oh. Right? You're just figuring this out?
Yeah, we're writing it down and passing notes to
You think that's what they were doing?
Yeah, I think it's just very on the nose.
Do you nutballs? I also want to give a shout out to Adam Wu, Wu-Tang. He was in a boxing match. Now this would be dated.
Oh, so this is his in memoriam? No, I'm going to give a shout out to Adam Wu, who died in a fist fight.
You met, wait, did you,
I've met Wu a couple of times.
You met, but was he
he was already blacked out in Texas.
Yeah, at our Austin show, he was being carried out, I think, when he met him
in San Francisco.
Though. Okay, all right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, right. God, yeah.
Yeah, it was a nightmare as well. Yeah. Can't wait to really spend some time with him. Any friend group where you're the coolest terrifies me.
he will be very offended by that.
I don't think that's cool. I've spent some time with Frailbot and Chankton. I think Mitch is lower on the totem pole than a lot of these guys.
Well, you're not cooler than Frailbot or Chankton.
No, of course not.
You met Frailbot?
I think so.
I don't think you met Frailbot.
How did I not meet...
You met Wu-Tang.
I met Wu-Tang. I met Chankton. Mm-hmm.
You met Chankton.
I met a bunch
you
of...
You met Micus.
I met Micus.
Dano, who
Dano,
you
Dano, yes, of course. Dano's great. Coolest. Dano's very cool.
Dano is the fucking Ben Affleck of your crew.
And who are we?
You're the fucking other guys in Good Will Hunting. You're Matt Damon because you also look like you have Downs. No, I'm just kidding.
Good God.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Being problematic before being introduced. Only Gabrus can bring that to this podcast.
Oh, by the way, I got a little drop for you. Here we go. Okay.
I think it's a perfectly acceptable take.
Yeah.
Do you have a dumb drop to play?
I do. So anytime we have a great guest in here, I can't look at him when I say this shit. And here's a drop. And guess what, Nick? We got a drop. Drop. And here's a little drop.
We got a drop.
That's a good one.
It's a spicy one. And get ready for a long drop.
And I've got a little drop.
Drop.
And here's a little drop.
Drop.
Here we go. We got a little drop.
I'm not going to play a drop.
Here's a drop.
Here's a drop I haven't listened to.
Drop. Drop.
Drop.
Drop.
Drop.
Drop.
Drop.
Drop.
Anyways, here we go. Here's a drop.
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 Drop. Drop.
People love the drop.
Howdy ho!
It's a Spoon Nation.
Drop.
I think this guy might be, I think this guy might have maybe made that beat.
I mean, it was certainly like a sample from Ocarina of Time.
Uh-oh.
What happened? What happened? Yeah, what are you doing?
He's playing his workout mix.
It was a remake. I think this guy might be a DJ.
Okay.
At Lindy Rossi. Lindum is his name. Or is it Lyndon? He said best Lindum, but then his email says Lyndon. Well,
I would just say read these emails before we start recording and just have a sense of what you're going to say.
It has a Zelda song you were talking about during my dinner with Weiger.
Right, yeah. Little Ocarina of Time main menu music.
All right, well, look, I've wasted enough time.
I want to hear your signature greeting, the one that is copyright infringement.
Howdy ho, Dimitri.
Two Spoons Nation.
I think it's a very funny bit I do every episode.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Didn't you promise?
Just fucking the vocal form of apnea. Who has waking apnea?
I think I do have more of that now. I feel like I'm
getting that Gamorrean guard sound.
Yes.
Gabers, I was thinking there was a, if you and I wrestled, because WrestleMania was this past weekend.
Yeah.
We could be in a sleep apnea match. Whoever gets the mask on the other person and puts them to sleep. They're the winner of the match. I guess maybe the person who goes to sleep is the winner.
It's the CPAPL grapple.
I feel like you guys are losing consciousness pretty quick in that match.
I feel like I can't even imagine sprinting to the ring. two blown MCLs and a heart attack.
Do you think you could? You're an athletic guy.
Yeah,
I am not.
You can use past tense there.
I'm comfortable. You were an athletic guy. Could you ever be? Because when we were watching wrestling and just seeing like. When I was younger, I did a little backyard wrestling once or twice with my buddy Joe
right.
Tormey, who's great.
I was wondering if you're going to give us his last name and what his mom's restaurant serves. Some other Quincy bullshit.
I believe his mom was a nurse, right, Joe? You can tell me if I was wrong. He listens to the podcast.
Yeah, you're right, Mitch.
The phone is lighting up. It must be Joe's mom from the hospital.
She was, because Joe went to... Aruba. I told the story where I got a mug off my head in Aruba.
This was an insane thing. By the way, our guest is the host of the podcast High and Mighty right here on HeadGum and the podcast Action Boys, which you can get on patreon.com/actionboys with a Z, John Gabris. Thank you for joining us, Gabris.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry I went against the current method of breakdown. I can't sit through Mitch.
It's chaos. This is great. This is perfect for today's episode.
It's confusing to be with Mitch when he's on his phone, even though he's doing it for work.
Right.
Because that's just having a conversation with him normally.
Yes.
So it's hard to register. Oh, he might actually be doing something important, not scrolling through some bullshit while you talk
to him. I'm a busy man.
Hey, Jabba, no bother. He just looks at his phone as Leia chokes him out.
Jabba does not have a cell phone.
He would, though.
Right.
And I guess now he would.
The special edition, they put a cell phone in his hand.
So I was backstage at the UCB Theater. This was years ago.
Yeah.
And we were just having a conversation, I think, before or after a show.
Yeah.
And you were just feeling something in your scalp, Mitch. Uh-huh. And then you just were like, ugh. And then you pulled your hands down and you had a little piece of glass.
That's
like a
right.
piece of window glass.
That was the first time it happened in a very long time.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, some glass just came out of my head. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Rock biter from Neverending Story.
And you told me this story. You get someone smashed a mug over your head in Aruba, right?
I got a mug thrown at my head in Aruba.
Hey, we should talk about, because I got a mug broken over my head in Poughkeepsie.
Did you really? Yeah. Wow. Dear God.
A big, and it was a Duff beer mug, like a Homer Simpson mug.
This reminds me of like when Homer invites the Simpsons family and you and I, if there's more of us out there, I'm right. sure. You're the Long Island, I'm the Boston version, I guess. I got a mug over my head. Like my people got into a fight. There was a scuffle. Mm-hmm. I just started walking over to be like, hey, let's get out of here. Truly, I never like to fight. I never. The only people I fought were my friends back in the day, because that's how I did it in Quincy. And so I was walking over to and the guy was like a ways away. He had a good arm, and it was one of those thick bottomed mugs.
Oh,
and so he hit me. And
my favorite Queen song, by the way.
Thick bottomed mugs. he nailed me from a good distance, probably like from where I am to like. Even maybe where the wall, this wall, this doesn't make any sense.
No, people,
yeah, it doesn't even make sense to the people in the room, yeah. No less the listeners. Why don't you try feet?
All right, he was probably 20, maybe 15 to 20 feet away.
That's a good distance.
He was a ways away. He hit me with a mug. It split my head open, and then it shattered. And I was wearing a Red Sox hat, luckily at the time, or else I would have gotten fucked up terribly.
Mm-hmm.
And blood, I took off my hat, blood just started pouring down my face. My friend Kelly Rose was like, are you gonna die? Like, she asked me that, and I was like, what
women.
But I was also like, how bad is this?
Yeah,
we were at Carlos and Charlie's, the place where the Natalie Holloway got, she was the last place she was seen alive.
Oh,
which this is before.
That's why you went there.
this is before all that happened.
You and your friends acted out John Lennon shooting in front of the Dakota, right?
This is before all of that. This was maybe a year or two before all of it happened. Not the same year. And we tried to get back in the club. They wouldn't let us in the club. We went to, and then my buddy Joe got punched. So Joe Tormey, and he split his lip open like the Joker.
Wait, what does Joe Tormey's mom do?
Nurse.
All right. Okay, good.
Which comes in handy here, because we went to the Aruban hospital. We like walked through like a weird desert through cacti. We got to the hospital and they just like nonchalantly sewed us both back up. I got to college and I was home on some Friday or Saturday night, I'm sure, and was rubbing my head. And I was like, man, this is like scabbing up again. This is probably like a year later. glass came out of my head, like sea glass, and that happened like a bunch more. It happened
sea
like
glass, like it like, was like I mean, worn down.
It was worn down. It was crazy because they got most. I think they got most of it out, but there was like it's happened like four or five times. It happened quite a bit.
Do you think it's all out at this point?
I think it's all. I mean, it's a pretty bad scar. But Joe's lip got split open like the Joker,
mm-hmm.
and his got split. But his mom, like I think, redid it and made it better because it was a nasty.
Jesus,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we started the trouble, probably.
Yeah. Oh, the cup I got broken over my head was my fault.
I was trying to get everyone out. Yeah,
I was in a fight.
Yeah, so, that's what I assumed.
I would have hit the guy who was doing what I was doing with a mug if given the opportunity. Yeah.
I was going to break it up. It was uh-huh. And walking over there, I saw swings happening. And then I think some guy saw me walking over. He thought I was a threat. So wrong. I mean, that's happened to me my whole life. I'm such a cowardly man.
Right, but if you're because you have loud, crazy friends who some are tough. I'm mm-hmm. guessing.
Yeah,
and. But anytime there's like shenanigans, people look over and they're like, that big guy is the problem.
Yeah.
Because right. That's me. Like, I would get in fights in college all the time because I was tall, big,
yeah.
And had like frosted tips, and I was wearing like a Hawaiian shirt, and I'm like, got all my friends around me, and I'm like chugging beers and like doing bits, and like, you just, other guys just hate you.
Yeah.
like anytime yeah. I'm like partied at another college, somebody tried to fight me.
Yes, yeah.
You had frosted tips?
Yeah, oh, that was a problem.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
Jesus Gapers, what the fuck?
I had bleach blonde hair like senior year of high school, and then I had frosted tips like Pacey in college.
If I got to see a pic of this.
I only would have hated you if I like walked by and you were like fucking fat, like if you made fun of me or something.
Right,
yeah. Would you have, and you probably would have done that.
Yeah, but I feel like it's how black people can say the N-word to each other. Like, I can call you fat, right?
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know what I said wrong there. I truly don't believe I said anything wrong. That's my own thing to deal with. The audience just heard like three beeps and then me going, I don't know what I said there.
That was Mitch's EKG.
I mean I liked college and I liked to party, don't get me wrong, but I do always think that they do single out a big guy because they're like, one, big guys have, you know, they have no feelings when we're sensitive. A lot of the time we're very sensitive, and then two, I think they think that you're tough or you like to fight, and I never been like that.
I think there might also be a pragmatic approach with a group mm-hmm. of guys of like, oh, we got to take care of that big guy. Like we're gonna get, you know, that guy's gonna cause a lot of trouble.
That's what my dad said to me when I was a kid. He's like, Jody, if you're ever to fight against a number of different guys,
your dad Donald
Trump. My dad. That's why I'm able to do a Donald Trump impression, is because that's what my dad actually sounded like.
Wow,
it's really weird. And my dad kind of looked like him because he had like blonde balding hair and like blue eyes and like a red fucked up face from alcohol, but from alcohol instead of piss. Johnny, if you ever, a group of guys ever try to start a fight with you, you hit the biggest one first as hard as you fucking can. He used to, like, me and my brothers do it all the time. Cleed your room. That's what he used to say. Cleed your room. Clean our room? But it is pragmatic advice.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, like if you're in a multiple encounter in an RPG, you might want to take out the orc chieftain before you take out the orcs.
Now you're speaking my language. Because maybe the orc
chieftain's giving bonuses of armor to his underlings due to like leadership morale or something.
No wonder your dad was mad at you.
Yeah, no wonder why everyone's trying to kick my ass as I'm loudly explaining Thacko in a bar.
Two hit armor class zero.
Thank you, Weiger.
Oh my god!
I'm familiar with the acronym.
Throughout the course of this episode, I'm going to be like my normal Benedict Arnold self, just jumping from side to side of the ongoing dispute between the two of you. I'm a nerd. I'm fat.
My dad would always like box with me a little bit, and like would always.
That's how he died, right?
That's I fucking.
That's the hardest part.
I finally took him out.
He's like, when you beat me, when you didn't kill him in the ring. He died from shame from losing to you. My dad watched five episodes of Guy Code back to back and then killed himself. Paid $100,000 for college for this bullshit.
My dad, sadly, like still had like a little fake boxing match with me, like when he was sick, he had cancer, like later on, and still whipped my ass. He was way tougher than I was. Woo was tough, and he fought for charity, I believe. And Woo was a tough guy, I've never been in a boxing match,
like a real boxing match.
We're both trying to get in shape.
Should we box each other for charity?
You would beat the hell out of me. I'm so sure of it. You would beat the hell out of me.
I can't even imagine hurting that face or head of yours. And I don't mean like, it's so cute, I don't want to hurt it. I mean, how do you even hurt that thing?
Right. You get a built-in football helmet.
You're buying that yes. Oh, God damn it.
I can't get to it. Like his Homer? Liver is surrounded by a protection of fat. I can't get to anything on this guy's body. I gave 5 liver shots in a row, and he's smiling.
Yeah, I've never been in any sort of actual martial arts sparring. I mean, I've been in like some schoolyard scrums, but yeah. I've never actually, I can't imagine being in some sort of MMA situation.
Schoolyard scrums?
Yeah.
I took Taekwondo when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
So I did some like sparring with pads. And then I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, BJJ in the city as an adult, in New York City as an adult. And I got my ass kicked a few times.
Yeah.
But never in like, always in like training. One time I tapped out because a dude was just holding me down. He wasn't even doing a move. This is just when it's a weight class thing, the guys who do sports that weigh as much as I do,
right,
are studs. Like they're like, I do jiu-jitsu because I'm 250 pounds and shredded. Yeah. And instead I'm 250 and not.
Yeah.
And that dude just fucking held my wrist down and his chest was in my face. He was just so strong that I tapped, and he literally stopped and went, did you just tap? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I wasn't even doing anything. And I literally was like, I couldn't breathe. And he's like, sorry? And I was like, so humiliated. It's like, all right, heavyweights, you. This guy just smokes me in seconds.
That's the other thing too, is if like when you're our, I said this before, but when I wrestled, I was teamed up with Tugboat. I had to put this guy Tugboat on my back, and he weighed quite a bit.
What would when did you wrestle, in junior high?
I wrestled in my freshman year. I wrestled for the full year, and then I tried it again for like 3 practices my junior year, and that was it. It might have even been like 2 or 1.
Because I wrestled in junior high. What was your weight class freshman year?
Oh, it was the highest. It was like whatever. Because I think it was like it was something and above, and I think it was like, I think the number was kind of like not as high as you'd think.
185 and above.
Yeah, right? It was something like that. Yeah,
because I wrestled 7th grade at 142.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's 7th grade. You're 11.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Like, you're not, and or however old you are at that age. And the only other people in the grade that were 142 were people who have gone fully through puberty early, like all the Greek kids, you know, and they're all like muscular and like, I weigh 142. And I'm like, me too. You know, and I'm like, just like little bitch tits, like little puffy nipples getting body slammed around.
I like that Greek blood. That's good. They do. It seems like they do seem like men. And when you're younger.
What is it about those Mediterranean men?
It's the olive oil. So early. It's all the olive oil. Right.
I was going to ask if you were, because just watching wrestling, I was like, oh man, what a good life it would be to be a professional wrestler.
That is the most untrue statement ever. Like famously the worst lives ever. But I do think about it because it combines 2 things I love, like talking to strangers or audiences and like some kind of physical feats. Like I like that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, pain pill abuse. Those are my big 3.
And drinking most nights.
I definitely envy that 46-year lifespan. Sounds pretty great to me.
I was wondering.
I don't have the balls to kill myself. So I'm going to become a wrestler to slowly die that way.
To die, choke on your own vomit, I guess, at one point. Gabriel, could you pull off any like the acrobatic? Could you like flip and stuff?
A little bit. I did some wrestling at UCB in New York. We had UCBW match, and I played a few different characters over the years, and I could do a lot of stuff. Most of my physical feats for improv comedy wrestling was I'm able to pick up people over my head,
you know?
So that was like my stunts. I wouldn't do flips or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But I think I could.
Yeah.
I'll go Owen Hart right from the rafters.
He wasn't trying to.
Yeah, but I'll do it. I ain't afraid of no ghost. The ghost of Owen Hart.
Dear God. I can do. I like, you know, I would always give like people piggybacks and stuff, and then at my my friend Mike Ramondi's wedding, I was one of the groomsmen. I was coming out to a song, and I had one of the bridesmaids on my back, and I was like dancing as I had her on my back and coming out, and I just felt my knee give out.
Oh,
and
man.
I went down and like put my arm up, and I grabbed her necklace. Her necklace exploded. Beads went everywhere. We both fell to the ground.
She's wearing rosary at a wedding.
It was like a necklace with beads, you know, like pearls or whatever.
Yeah. She's yelling out, "I never agreed to this in the first place."
Let go of me, mister. I'm from a different wedding.
Get on my back, sweetheart. And then as we were watching the first dance, their first dance, I just saw the pearl, like there was like a pearl or two like rolling out on the floor. And I was like, oh, fuck. Are they going to fucking trip?
Right.
Are they going to like slip on the...
It's like Final Destination.
It really wasn't. Thank God it did not. But it was like very, very close to happening. It was terrifying. So that's... I knew what that moment when I lost it of being able to pick people up.
I was at my wife's friend's wedding one time, and the Dirty Dancing song came on, and I picked Tiffany up like... Patrick Swayze picks up Jennifer Grey and like kind of spun her around, and like the bride saw me do that, and they were like, "You got to do that to the bride." So then I did it to the bride, and I'm like strong enough to hold a woman up over my head. But then when I put her down, there was a line of like six bridesmaids like, "Can I go?" And my wife was like, "Look at me." And I never felt more like I felt masculine for the first time in a decade, where women are like, "Can you?" And meanwhile, it's just King Kong. In the end, it was heart failure that killed the beast. I want to hear about a schoolyard scrum.
Yeah, me too.
Oh boy, there's nothing interesting.
You never
about
had
this.
Like autistic nerd rage on someone that was bullying you? I feel like you were the kind of kid who's like a kid like knocks your books out of your hand. He turns around to walk, and you like pick up the textbook and fucking hit him in the cerebellum.
Like I reach it, yeah, I reach it something. I just boil over and snap. No, yeah. I never really had that. That never really happened. I got in just a few. It was like elementary school fisticuffs. It was those other two. I mean, like I punched a kid a couple times. I don't feel good about it. They're not good stories.
And wait, hold on. This and I just want to make it clear that you were an adult and you went to a schoolyard.
Yeah, I've been in a few schoolyard scrums. There are all these bullies at the school that I walk past to get to the bus or ferry or however you travel around LA.
Here's the one thing I did that was particularly bad. My neighbor was this kid Scoop, and he was like a teenager.
Yeah,
he was
a friend Scoop.
Now, yeah, of course.
And I've met Scoop. Scoop is a good guy. But he was like he was on the football team. And he was a boxer. I thought he was so cool, and like he was like he had a heavy bag in the backyard. So I went over there one day, and he was like showing me how to throw punches. And so I was like, I thought this was a really cool skill. And then at my friend's birthday party, my friend Jonathan's birthday party, mm-hmm. he was like bothering me. So like I went like with you know the boxing form I'd been taught, and just like punched him square in the nose like as hard as I could, and like he fell to the ground and like instantly started sobbing, like his nose was bleeding.
Jesus.
I just ruined this kid's birthday, and it was his birthday party. And when I think back on it, I was like I kind of did it for like it wasn't that. What he'd been doing to me wasn't like did not deserve this at all. Like that's a big move to like punch someone in the face at their birthday.
It was a bit of an overreaction.
It was very much an overreaction.
Did you get invited to the next birthday?
We remained friends for years. It was fine. It was water under the bridge.
That was like the one true one-on-one fight I got into in high school. Was like a kid challenged me to a fight. He got thrown out of class because he was like being crazy, and then he was like, "I'll fucking fight you after school." I was like, "Fine," and I got like kind of nervous, and I'm like, "I guess I'm walking out to fight this kid," and my friends are all like, "Go kick his ass," and I'm like, "I've been in like scuffles," and I was like, "Okay, here we go," and I'm like walking out there, I'm carrying like my swim bag with like my goggles and wet Speedo on the outside of it, and I'm like walking over, and he's like, "Hey, man," and he like has his hands out, and one of the advice I've always got is like, you know, with most of these fights, just hitting first wins.
Right. Yeah.
So I just like dropped my bag, and he like looked down at my bag for a second, and I just wound up and punched him in the face as hard as I could.
Oh my God.
And he like fell to the ground, and then was like getting up, and I just like leapt on him and just started like Christmas story.
Hey, well, yeah, once a guy like you or I, that was always my move, is to somehow put my blob body on top of the person.
It's to press my erect penis into their abdomen. And I just like kick this dude's ass. And then like, I've thought that moment over so much in my life, and I'm pretty sure if I really thought about it, I don't allow myself. I think he was coming up to me to be like, hey, look, man, I'm sorry. I'm almost positive he was coming up with like an olive branch, and I was so keyed up on like, I don't want to lose.
Right.
His side of the story is probably like terrified. Like he's terrified of like what happened.
Both, that's what's funny is that you're probably both equally terrified.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're about to fight someone who's not scared, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a person who's done it before.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what I've heard. If someone's looking you dead in the eye, you'd be like, okay, this person's possibly crazy.
The proliferation of MMA and like that kind of training means that like it used to just mean like, oh, well, this guy is 5'8", 155 pounds, not a problem. Mm-hmm. But now like 5'8", 155 pound guys with Napoleon complexes are all of a sudden like, you know, power clean 235 and like our MMA you're like, oh man, now I can't even fight like a small guy.
Oh yeah,
right.
I was always... you cannot get choked out by a guy who's 5'5".
Oh no way. Yeah, yeah, no,
you can, no offense, but
yeah, I probably could.
We all could,
yes.
We all
easily
but
could.
It hurts like if someone saw that happen to me. Uh-huh. It's like that much worse to be a
get oh I gotcha
by a little guy.
In some instances you I think you probably would enjoy this situation.
How much does the guy win? Super specific fetish. And once I'm passed out, does he just leave the room or does he video me?
Wagger, I feel like a lot of your schoolyard scuffles comes from now you stealing minion backpacks.
Those are my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. They're my Yu-Gi-Oh cards now.
Look, I have the income to buy all this stupid kid shit I want, so I'm not going to steal from any kids.
Excuse us. I got to talk to Headgum.
Like a rattle and a diaper.
All the stupid kid stuff I want.
I have some adult bottles. Baby fetish.
Baba.
Formula.
My wife is nursing me. Come on.
Hey, I'd nurse off Irma if she
was like, giving don't milk. Say Natalie. I was like, please don't say Natalie.
I was going to say Irma.
Yeah, I don't know if that's better. I jerk off to my wife breastfeeding my dog.
There, Gabriel,
did
a
you
chance,
guys ask?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's a chance that could have been just a complete non sequitur. I feel like at any moment in the conversation, you could have dropped that.
I just want to be real with you.
All right, we've got some business to attend to. This is our 420 episode.
Yes,
and
tons of business. We want to talk SEO.
Right. So, Gabrus, I know you're something of a... I called Matt Besser a pothead before, and he said it was pejorative, so I won't say that, but you're something of a weed enthusiast.
I'm not going to blow your mind here, but I'm a little more chill than Besser, so feel free to call me whatever.
You're not going
to
give us a note session after the podcast?
Why all those sub games?
But you like, when did you start smoking weed, and how regular of a ritual is it for you?
Yeah, I have a storied history with weed. I smoked weed in high school like everyone does. I had a couple of random parties, and who knows what it really was. And then I thought I was going to be an FBI agent, so I quit. And then I didn't smoke weed again until a friend's bachelor party when I was like 24.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I took like... from like 17 to I took like 7 years. I didn't smoke weed in college, and I'm kind
that's
of
crazy
glad
to think
I
about
skipped
knowing
that.
You. That's yeah. Crazy.
Wow, you didn't smoke weed in college?
No, I didn't. You know what it was? I wasn't smoking weed because I thought I was going to be an FBI agent. Then I went away to college, got really into drinking and being out and partying, and then like my college roommates started smoking weed like on Sundays or like randomly at the end of the night, and I found them to be really annoying.
Yeah,
and
there are in college. I feel like. The people who are discovering that for the some of the not all of them, but some of them can be pretty annoying.
And also, when you're broke with weed, it gets like it comes. It's too desperate.
Yeah,
you know, sure. Where it's sort of like, shh, come on over here, let's smoke a joint. Yeah. Don't tell Mitch. We don't have enough. If Mitch wants to, if Mitch is going to smoke, you better give us each a dollar. You know, it's like all that college bullshit where you get like these 12 beers are mine. Who had two? I put these 12 here, and now I only have 10. It's like that shit's not like it drove me up a fucking wall.
Right.
So I was like, I'm not even going to smoke weed. And I met Tiff. I met my wife, and I was like kind of getting even serious with her when I was 21. So I was like, oh, you know, she doesn't smoke. She didn't drink either at the time. She eventually had to come around. I can't keep fucking this thing sober. I can't keep letting him drip fucking cleavage sweat onto my head as he pumps five times on top of me. I just happened to look directly at Emma as I said that, and I was like, oh, I am uncomfortable. But then at Adam Pally's bachelor party with some friends of the pod, Gil Azari, et cetera, I smoked a little weed and I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
And then I kind of smoked every once in a while in New York. Then I got a delivery guy in Brooklyn. And then I had some weed friends on my improv teams that we would be like, let's get high after the show. So I started getting high after every law firm, then getting high after every Outlook of the Poet. Mm-hmm. And I was like getting high after shows. And I'm like, this is got into it on my own. Then I moved to California. Yeah. And then I swung too hard one way and didn't leave the house for like 18 months when I first moved here. One part lack of work and friends and social things to do.
Yeah.
One part legal weed.
Yeah.
And now I've finally developed a healthy relationship with him.
Well, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. More or less.
Right.
I consider it healthy. I think, you know, other people might frown upon the amount of weed I smoke.
Sure.
But if I was having a glass of wine as much as I had weed, no one would say a thing.
Yeah, it's true. I think the stigma behind it is disappearing. I mean, certainly out here, it's like, you know, I feel like recreational use, no one really bats an eye, at least in kind of our social circle. It's like a totally acceptable thing.
I smoked when I was young, you know, 14 or 15 or something, pretty young, which I think not everyone, I don't think everyone does smoke in high school.
Well, I said the other day to, maybe it was Lapkus, was telling me she didn't like drink until, or someone was telling me they didn't drink until like college. And I was like, I was drinking every Friday and Saturday night from like eighth grade until college.
Right. That was more of what it was like in Quincy too.
Just at standing least. In a park, chugging tall boys.
Which is why we're like we are, most likely.
Yeah, dying.
but I when I went to college, actually my first couple of years I rode crew, which everyone
did
knows.
You?
Oh, wow. Oh,
man. And then you got
novel.
In too good of shape. Uh-huh.
But that's when I would see, I didn't take a break from smoking weed. I took a break from hooking up with girls in college. That was my
When are you gonna get off that break? I know. I'm proud of you. It's, what is this, 15 years now?
I smoked a lot because I couldn't, in my first 2 years, I couldn't drink. We had practices on Saturday, so I couldn't drink a lot on Friday night or whatever. And then during the week, it's hard. Your first couple of years, it's hard. You know how it can be harder to get booze anyways.
Right.
So I smoked a lot of weed. That's what, and then I kept doing it. And then I did it when I was out here, but I've gone the opposite where I've now fallen off and I don't do it. I always thought
in my head,
yeah.
The birthday boys are a bunch of like weed smoking weirdos.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you meet them, you're just a
dorks.
Group of weirdos.
Yeah, we're just a group of weirdos. I mean, I was probably the closest one to a couple of those guys do smoke, but I, like my sophomore year, I was kind of a pothead, I would say.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I smoked all the time.
What about since moving out to L.A.?
And then it eventually just kind of dwindled. And then my anxieties got too high, and then it was over.
Does it make you anxious to smoke it, or does it just exacerbates existing anxiety?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because for a lot of people, they find it counters their anxiety.
Yes,
but for some people, it does double down. And I think that's, if I can be old man weed over here, I think that's you're smoking the wrong stuff in the wrong amount.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
And this is a great segue. I brought you guys some Welcome to HeadGum gifts.
Oh, hell yeah.
That I'd like to give you.
Is there a HeadGum bong?
No. It's these are all you talk about, Nick, is like wanting to learn how to smoke weed.
Yes.
And how to do it. So I brought you guys these awesome Dosist pens from Humboldt.
Oh, wow.
It's called, they have different flavors like Bliss, Passion. You know, this one's called Sleep.
Mm.
And this is like all just like heavy, pure indica, like put you down. Not like it's not a sedative,
right?
But it'll relax you. It shouldn't be as head high. It should be more body high. And for you, Weiger, and for everyone, but this is specific to you, it will buzz a little in your mouth when you've had one dose of a hit.
Like, oh, that's useful.
It's as idiot proof as it can be.
Right.
So like,
thank you, Gabriel.
Before bed, you just take a little toke until it buzzes, and then it shouldn't be anxiety inducing.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it is,
it will be a good test.
Yeah, yeah. And if it is, then you might have a certain issue with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would say maybe the issue's not with pot, but it's
my brain.
Somewhere deep in your psyche. Yeah. And for you, Nick, I think you were talking. I'm a big fan of. I listen to this every week, and I also listen to Dumbbells. And you talk about having a hard time going to sleep.
Yes, I've had some insomnia issues. Yeah.
And this should aid you with that.
Oh, oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's wonderful.
These are high quality, and now you can just walk into a store and buy those. If you ever wanted to, they make big. bigger ones, higher capacity. I have one of these on my nightstand for if I wake up in the middle of the night and I don't feel like I'm going to be able to fall back asleep.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
I got to give this a go.
It really works well. So
it's it's more of a body high.
It's more of like a body relaxation, sort of like wind down high, you know?
Looking on the back, they have a lot of information on that's crazy.
It has to now. It's crazy.
Right. It's like basically a nutrition facts, but it
tells you where the cannabinoids and terpene levels are.
Yeah, it has THC level, CBD, accessory cannabinoids. Boy, linalool, terpeniol. What are all these terms?
They're all cannabinoids that are in marijuana that give it different. I'm pretty sure, and I'm speaking a little out of turn here because I don't know that much. But like, terpenes are what give it its scent or flavor. Like, it's just an element of the cannabinoids. So some of them are lemony, some of them are cheesy, you know, and that's all comes from the terps. And then the other, like, THC is what activates the brain. CBD is the, like, body high, the non-psychoactive. And that this has a little bit of that in there, too. I think you guys might enjoy them. And
it's crazy that I just got anxious thinking about it.
Yeah.
That is insane.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. That's an issue.
Speaking of acronyms, this is something you could smoke while listening to some DMB, ain't it, Mitch?
Oh, God.
DMB.
So let's get into it, because I think part of our mission statement for today is that we're gonna smoke a little marijuana. We're gonna get a little. We're gonna have a little Mary Jane here.
This made me so excited to find out that when like this is my life. White hair texts the three of us are on a chain. You text and say like, "Hey, do you want to come over, smoke weed, do some activity for the podcast and with us?" And I'm like, "Yes." And I'm like, "I'm available." And then I'm like, "Yo, pump the brakes." It's like a girl going, "Hey, do you want to grab coffee?" I'm like, "Here are my 5-hour availability slots. I would love to. I love it." I'm always pumped to come on Doughboys, and I'm always pumped to smoke dope. And when you guys want me to combine the two. I'm so excited.
Well, we're probably going to have to, for me, we're going to have to do another time. I got to break the news.
Yes.
I'm not smoking weed.
Yeah.
I'm not.
That's fine.
I can't. I have two things I have to do tomorrow. I can't do. I have an audition. I'll say it even.
That's completely reasonable. I'm sure. Fine. I don't think people think you're doing surgery tomorrow. All right. I'll tell you. It's not a triathlon. It's an audition. that's fine, Mitch. I would love to come back. I mean, I'll come by one night before bed and tuck you in with a little sleep. I'm worried about your health, man. So that'll help you go to bed at like a reasonable human hour, so you can wake up at a human hour and
before
do human
sun?
Activities. Yeah.
Before the sun comes up.
And also, guess what? Marijuana doesn't affect.
What's that?
Your liver.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because your body doesn't have to process it there.
Yes.
So I've more or less replaced alcohol with weed, which I don't know if that's, you know, I have a lot of friends who are in recovery for like in AA and smoke weed every single day. And it's just like not as much of a problem for them as weed. And
yeah. What's the cliche? Stop what's killing you fastest first, right? It's why, you know, like, yeah, maybe I'll get off of my opiate addiction and smoking cigarettes helps me deal with that.
Yeah.
And this isn't great for me.
Out.
So fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But I found that with weed, I'm able to do more stuff the next day. I don't feel like I have diarrhea all morning,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's way less calories if you can control the munchies.
Yeah.
As I'm looking around.
Speaking of which.
At the Captain Phasma Funko doll. Or pop, sorry.
We're going to be tasting some stuff too, Nick.
Yeah. We've got.
There's a little surprise with one of the boxes.
Ooh. The surprise is that you opened one of the boxes.
We're going to be testing flavored condoms. We can tell.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Doughboys. Mitch, did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? You know, before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about 10 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for more than 15 subscriptions each and every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about.
Wow. Wags, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Doughboys Patreon, the Doughboys Double, bye-bye.
Mitch, I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you themselves, Wags.
Wow. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Wow.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/doughboys.
Do it. Today's episode of Doughboys is brought to you by Helix. Wags, I've had a Helix mattress now for 6 years, maybe 7 years.
Wow.
It's been a while. It was pre-pandemic. I know that much.
Man.
I know. And you know what? My sleep has greatly improved. I love my Helix mattress. It's like a cloud. Wally and Irma sleep in there together. They love it. They don't want to leave the bed.
Cute.
I don't want to leave the bed. Probably bad for you. You know what? Anytime I'm late here, blame it on Helix.
Wow.
I'm sleeping away.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, Wags, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night, which is a problem for me. I heat up.
Problem for me, too. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's the perfect combination of comfort and support.
Wags, I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Moonlight Luxe mattress because I wanted something that felt nice and soft, just like me.
Wow. And not only is the mattress the best you've ever slept on, but the setup was fast and easy, as you were telling me. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free.
You know what? Ross Kimball helped me set it up. Good guy, Ross.
Shout out to Ross. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15-year warranty, depending on the model.
And now Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/doughboys and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Helix Partner 20.
Hey, Mitch, this ever happened to you? You walk into a store, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get myself a bottle of wine. What the hell do I get?
Wags, it happens to me all the time. I get wine anxiety. I don't know what the hell to do.
That's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores.
How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen, costs, and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality.
As a result, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines at huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker.
Wags, I got sent a box of Naked Wines, and you know what? It was delightful. I had a few people over for the Oscars. I was popping reds, popping whites. Everyone was satisfied.
Yeah, you know, they sent over a Chablis, they sent over a nice Burgundy, they sent over a Chardonnay, sent over a Cab Franc, they were all winners for me. Me, I personally like the Cab Sauvignon they sent over. The wine is so good, and it's such a good deal.
They told me they were sending over a Burgundy, and I said, uh-oh.
You ever see Anchorman?
Yeah, you worried it was Ron Burgundy, but no, it was the wine. Naked Wines has been around for over 10 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part, every bottle is a passion product from an independent winemaker, so you are literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true.
Wow. So head to nakedwines.com/doughboys and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in doughboys for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included.
That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/doughboys and use the code and password doughboys and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99.
One last time, that's nakedwines.com/doughboys, code and password doughboys for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Do it.
Welcome back to Doughboys, a special 420 edition. We're here with John Gabris. And hey, we're going to smoke a little reefer. Now, we have yet to toke up, if you will.
I won't say if our engineer is going to do it or not, but...
I'm shocked. You better not. You're going to go reefer mad. So we're smoking a hybrid, which is okay. a blend in between sativa and indica. Mm-hmm. And some are sativa dominant, which is sativa for you guys is the head stuff, the psychoactive element.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The I call it movie weed. Yeah. Where I want to smoke sativa and then watch a movie.
Like
that's like get your brain going. And then indica, the way to remember that is indica. Mm-hmm. That's the one that knocks you out, that puts you down. That relaxes.
I like that
you.
One.
This is a hybrid, so it's a blend between the two from one of my new favorite grass companies, Lowell Smokes. They make like packs of cigarettes. They make 12 packs of joints. And buying them is like the coolest thing I think you could do.
That is cool. That's handy.
When I bought weed when I was younger, there were sticks and seeds for real.
That's what I was going to say is the degree of that was always what stopped me from smoking. One of the things that stopped me from smoking, even though I smoked some weed as a youth, over drinking.
SoCal surfer boy. Gotta rip that buzz, dude. Oh, yeah.
You can tell by the way you say a youth.
The two youths.
Look, I'm no stranger to the kind, buddy.
I can't believe I'm watching you. I mean, you're holding it insanely.
Yeah, but part of the issue was that, yeah, I know, I feel like Charles Nelson Reilly here on Match Game.
Yeah, you put like a 4-inch filter on it.
But the degree of difficulty. So the fact that you can just buy a joint now, or you can just buy like a little dosage pen like you got for us, Gabris. But anyway, let me go ahead and take a toke here.
Take a ripsky. Yeah. So it was funny.
He
French inhaled. It came out of his nose. The dude knows what he's doing.
It doesn't look like he's, but look at him. Watch.
No, he's getting it. Jesus Christ.
Well,
that you're not coughing is insane, too.
I took a couple of hits, if you will.
I have a feeling that you might murder me after you get high.
No, this. Imagine we just unlock like the fucking like Rico Suave version of Weiger. Like all of a sudden he's like, "You guys, who else wants fucking pussy?" Like, whoa! His hair is like slicked. He's like the mask.
Yeah, it's like a Nutty Professor scenario. I guess Mitch would still be the clump.
A clump?
Hercules.
What should I be feeling here? Should I just be starting to get, like, should I be feeling anything?
Yeah.
Should I be?
That's the other thing about weed versus booze. Uh-huh. Weed hits you in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I should be getting like a little, I feel like maybe a little mellow and hazy.
Have you, when's the last time you felt you got high?
Well, I smoked some weed with Gabris after we did a Live High and Mighty show at the UCB Theater.
Infamous Live High and Mighty show where Weiger revealed secrets that have now been talked about incessantly. But
oh, God.
You smoked a lot of weed afterwards with us, but I think you might have been like a little bit buzzed from alcohol.
I was pretty drunk at that point, so I couldn't isolate the effect. As far as the last time I've been just like just high, I don't know if I could. It's been a long time. It's been since college. I think probably I was like a sophomore in college.
Let me tell you, some crazy stuff happens after the. I won't go into details, but crazy stuff can happen after those high and mighty. Oh, my mine wasn't a high and mighty, but it was
the power.
It was a power.
Yeah,
okay,
it was the year before.
Yeah.
I gotta. If you're both in town for this Thanksgiving Eve, we're gonna have both of you lunatics on. Yeah, some crazy stuff does happen. Now I'm remembering what the reference you're referencing. There you go, Weiger. Right. As we say in the biz, you got to cough to get off.
I think Weiger's gonna get very high. Uh-huh. And I do have to do work, Weiger, so you have to leave immediately.
I'm going to stay and do work with you.
Yeah, Gabrus is an actor. Yeah.
I think a lot of people's, when they have negative experiences with weed, it's often after an evening of drinking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I think the two, some people can handle the two. Mm-hmm. Some people can differentiate the two. But for some people, it's like sort of like, what's it called? Like the sum is greater than the whole or whatever.
Right. Emma was about to say the spins. You get the old spins.
They like affect each other exponentially. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I got it.
So like you're even drunker and even higher than you would be from five beers or one joint.
That makes sense.
They sort of work synergistically together. So I always like warn, because like my wife is like, I don't like to get high. I always get like sick. I'm like, that's because you have tried edibles and also the only time you ever go, I want to hit, is when you're drunk.
Yeah.
So of course,
yeah.
If you try one hit one time when you're sober, you can get a feel for what you, because for a lot of people, you're talking about your anxiety or people who get fucked up smoking weed. For a lot of them, they're doing the equivalent of like, let me try alcohol and then drinking a bottle of red wine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
I mean?
And you're like, no, that's not how it works. You would have like two beers in your dad's basement first.
Yeah.
Right.
There's been plenty of times where I was drunk and then smoked weed and got like spins or got sick. Yeah. But I was also at one point was good at smoking and being drunk. I could do both.
I'm still like that. I'm like a horse. I have the skill to just stand, smash alcohol, drain joints, and just keep screaming in people's faces.
I wonder how I would do now. I mean, like, I feel like once you have done it enough that, but I haven't, but I don't smoke anymore is what I'm saying. So well, I wonder if I wanna, it would be like, bad
I'll
now.
Come over and we'll get high and hit the recumbent bike and play video games, taking turns. I'll do that with you.
I like that. I've never worked out like a lot. Like I have friends who will get high and then go for like runs. And
yeah.
Stuff,
I have a lot of friends. I have a friend who recommended, Pat Walsh, very funny, comedian, recommended get fully dressed in your workout clothes and your running sneakers. Then get high, and then you're kind of like, oh, I fucking got running sneakers on. Let me go for a long walk. I get high and walk the dog for like an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm like, or sometimes I'm like, I want to just get high, but I probably should exercise. I'll get stoned and like bang out like dumbbell routines in my office
right.
while watching Conan the Barbarian on Amazon. That's a true event from a week ago. I'm 36.
Is that kind of your taste level for movies when you're high? I feel like I'm still in that.
It sounds like there is smoke in your lungs.
Yeah, I feel like I've still got to cough a little something out. But like you feel like you want to watch like an action movie. Is that what you're into?
See, for me, like I love to rewatch movies when I'm stoned because then I don't miss anything.
You know
what I mean? Like then I'm like, or I'm seeing it again for a new way.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm being completely honest, I don't think I've watched a movie not high in 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Sometimes I'll have to watch a movie and it'll be like in the morning or early on. I have to watch it for some reason or I might not be. But if it's like, if I'm sitting down to watch a movie, I'll get stoned.
That's very...
And I have a podcast where I have to watch a movie every week, so maybe I'm setting myself up for this situation.
I don't know why I get anxiety. Like I don't know why it's so strongly associated with getting high now, but... I think maybe the fact that I did other stuff, which probably didn't like hallucinogens and stuff that didn't, that probably.
Right. And then you think weed is like that at all.
Yeah. And then
I
had a bad trip and then being in that place or whatever, I think. So
I would also think it's not good to roll into like smoking a joint with tons of anxiety.
Yeah.
To begin
right.
With. Yeah, I think you're going to just end up escalating that.
Yep.
So Weiger, do you want to try to, cause you're a wordsmith, do you want to try to articulate what you're feeling? Because I tried to explain to Tiffany what being high felt like, and I realized it's kind of corny any way you try to describe it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I don't know.
Are you feeling anything that
I'm feeling?
You feel
something. Yeah. I'm feeling like a little like dazed. I'm feeling like a little like I'm looking through a pane of frosted glass.
That's what I was about to describe.
That's good.
I described to Tiffany as everything gets a little fuzzy.
Right. Yeah. I'm like a little fuzzy.
Yeah, where you're like, wait. Or the other way to tell often, like this is like kid stuff, but it's fun using this with adults. Like move your head very quick to the left or right, and do you feel like your eyesight is not at the same pace as it should be?
Yeah.
Like you sort of turn to the left, and then your brain's like, ah, I got there. Like,
right.
Sort of like a Wile E. Coyote type thing. You can kind of, I realize I'm, by the way, spinning my head back and forth, not talking. I should know this by now on my 600th hour of podcasting.
Could be a programming issue with Weiger as well.
Right. It could be. We just need an update. If you want to do a soft reboot of him, you know what you have to do. You have to put your hand in his mouth and his asshole at the same time. And he spins like a rotisserie.
Jesus Christ.
There is a chance that Weiger hooked on weed.
I'm not trying to do that, but Weiger's the type of guy that sounds like, you know, he's trying to drink less for health purposes,
right,
but also enjoys the wind down of a cocktail.
I do like that.
You really like to be in control, though, is another thing with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you maybe overstate that a little bit because you think I'm controlling in regards to this podcast.
Well,
I
mean, yeah, because you want it to get done.
Yeah. Like, that's like,
you can see the forest for the trees and realize that this is a job that's, right, you know, offering you guys some opportunities.
Right.
And this guy is like, fucking, if you want to play a drop, please hang up now and attain your dialing stick or whatever. I'm just picturing you like Homer in the Moo Moo episode. You just. Can't get to drop the play.
I do some stuff.
Oh, the dialing wand. That's what it was called.
Mitch, do you think you'll ever get down to 300 like Homer?
Dude, that is currently what Mitch and I are doing.
Did you not know this?
Do you know about this?
You guys are trying to get under, right?
We're trying to get under 300. We kind of made a proclamation in the beginning of the year on High and Mighty that we would be under 300 by April.
Mitch has been
trying to push it back since January.
Right.
And,
We did the Tournament of Champions.
That's tough. I mean, we're just eating so much pizza in there. It's tough to lose weight.
It was bad.
Oh, yeah. No, I listen to, of course, every episode that's on the free feed. And as someone with a Patreon, that's even a dick. I should just support you guys. I listen to every episode, and I felt during Munch Madness, I'm like, doesn't sound like Mitch is like getting to the gym at all. And I meant to like, sounds like your time has been so filled because, I mean, we know what time filled me. Like, having to go pick up pizza at Hot and Ready is like a fucking day and a half.
Yeah.
Just like to prep myself to the shit you were bragging about of like, I actually picked something up for the podcast I host out of my living room.
Here's what I have to say today. I woke up, which to you guys will be kind of late, but I woke up at 9.
No, that's fine. That's reasonable and not having a thing to do in the morning.
That's fine.
This is all I want to say is that today I went to the gym and went to my trainer.
A high five is being exchanged between Mitch and Gabriel.
I went to my trainer and I have not been. You're right in a way that I haven't been great lately with workout stuff, but I'm back on it. I went to my trainer and I went to an audition and that took up everything till now, LA can suck. It can be bad.
Your whole day.
It was my whole day till like. Literally, well, you saw me walking in at 4.
Yeah, like, you went to the gym and you had a job interview is the way to think about it. I mean, that is a substantial chunk of someone's
day. That would be someone's day.
Yeah, sure.
But we got to do it, Mitch.
Yeah.
We got to get below 300.
We're going to get below.
I think I'm going to do it.
I think I'm going to do it too.
I said July by accident in the last tweet about it.
That's
and someone
perfect.
Was like, didn't you say June last month? And I meant like we would record it in June and put it up in July. But July is the 6 month mark.
All right.
Yeah.
I can get. Well, here's the thing. I don't know my weight.
Oh, yeah. So that Mitch could be 303.
Or I could be like 383.
Or you could be 335. You can't be 383.
You could be
335.
Right. I could be 335.
You could be 305. It's hard to tell. You know, it's like how many gallons are in that pool. Like if you have a 1 gallon of water and 2 gallons of water, it's easy to tell the difference.
When
you have 499 gallons and 500 gallons, you're like, I don't know which one's which. So you could be 305. You could be 335.
Yeah.
I know I was 323 when we had that conversation.
Yeah.
And which is pretty high. You don't look much skinnier than me or much bigger. So you probably are close.
I'm probably close. My trainer, because I never wanted to see that I went above 300. So I went on the scale backwards. And my trainer is the only person who knows.
Oh, wow.
The exact number.
So he is like tracking it in his head. And he's going to let you know when you achieve it.
He told me that he'll let me know when I get. He said, like, once I get to an area
he had him talk to Jason and say, like, Jason should. And one of the things we were joking about was, come July, do you you have to weigh yourself no matter what.
Yeah.
And then if you're over 300, you're making that announcement on High and Mighty.
Man, that's a good motivator to be on.
The other joke we said was we should have to take bathing suit photos. And I was like, I'll do that, but I can't imagine you would. And you're like, you're right. I don't want
to
do that.
I kind of don't want to do it, but I would do it, I guess.
I do.
There's a bunch of people who are into bears just holding limp dicks right now. Yeah. God damn it.
My DMs and Instagram, they're out there.
Swimsuits.
I did a scene in that new movie on Netflix called Game Over Man where I get my ass eaten.
Yes, I saw it.
And I have had like 40 DMs from men with some version of the word cub in their Instagram handle.
You and I was naked on Birthday Boys, and I had a nice. It was very flat. It's very flattering.
I fucking love it, man. And I also, almost like, want to fuck a guy just to reap some benefits from it.
I feel like a big thing again. Of it.
Another guy.
I feel like a big thing for me, which I think I don't know how you'll probably make fun of me for this.
Yeah,
but probably. I was like, it was so nice to when that episode came out and the guy who liked bears. There was a guy who liked bears who followed me, and then it was posted to a website. And I was like, oh, this is nice to be desired in a way.
Yeah,
it's like,
flattering.
I've never...
If you need that for your ego, some people can live without that from anyone.
Yeah.
I crave it from audiences.
It was always a thing. I mean, yes, I guess that is kind
of... So it's like to get feel desire, but also to know that you're... I was on a bear podcast today. I want to talk about having a weird day. I've just did a podcast and then came here and did a podcast. That's like a day of work is getting high and talking to friends twice.
Wait, you did a bear podcast?
Yeah, there's a podcast called Unbearable, and it was just about, and I was the first straight guy to be on.
Really?
Yeah, and it was fun. But I was talking about how I think we should appreciate the gay bears even more. I'm a little stoned because now I'm getting angry with myself for not keeping track. I'm not following a storyline because now I'm like 10 steps away.
This is me normally. But,
yeah, this is pretty coherent.
Yeah. But gay bears, bear chasers, men who are into big, stocky, bearded, thick men have sort of opened the gates for women to come forward about. There's female bear chasers out there.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like... And one of the guys was saying, like, even like girls in relationships with big guys would be like, he's funny and I love him, you know, but now it's like comfortable to be like, he's hot. Look at that. He's a fucking big bellied, fucking hairy, handsome dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's like because of gay dudes, they kind of open the floodgates for everyone to appreciate our type. I mean, because they have.
Yeah.
Fat guys have been getting fucked for years, millennia. You know, I'm not. So that's
King
also,
Henry and
also
so
something
on.
To keep in mind. Another thing to keep you emotionally down and depressed is that, come on, fat guys have been getting fucked forever. What's your problem? It's not that you're fat. That's not why you're not getting laid, also, is what you should know. Because I'm fat and I'm fucking. I mean,
you're married.
Monthly,
right?
But I'm still fucking.
It counts.
On the 15th every month, like rent. Eat a pussy on the 8th. Again, I just keep reminding I've met Emma today.
I gotta say, this is quite a discussion. I mean, if you've got, it's nice to hear you guys like appreciate that attention. It's nice to hear that this is sort of like it's desirable.
When I'm 20 or 21 years old and you're a chubby guy and you're like, oh, I would love attention.
Sure.
So when you get attention, it's a nice thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no one's put me on Wiki Feet.
Oh, despite having some of me, despite wearing high heels to every red carpet, Weiger in high heels would be unsettling. It'd be like an ATST walker. Super lanky.
I could pull it off.
Trust me.
All right, so I'm definitely like buzzed. But I feel like I should for this exercise, I should reach the threshold of high AF. So I'm wondering if we should we spark up some more? Is that what we should be doing?
Do you want to get high AF, or sometimes as me and my brothers say as a joke, STB, stone to the bone?
Oh hell yeah!
Because it's ironic. We make fun of like the way you actually talk about weed,
right?
Like how stoners like joke. But again, at what level is the irony on, really? Because me and my friends are like, who wants to get stoned to the bone? And we're all like, me. Yeah. You know, it's corny. There's that we're saying line, it, but we're into it.
Right.
Clearly.
Well, and while you're doing that, you're getting that next dube ready for
saying
us too.
Snoochie boochies. there is some real level to it.
So we've got some. We've got every Girl Scout cookie, and this is what we were talking about earlier.
Holy shit,
Mitch! Yeah, you've opened one of these.
One of the boxes has been opened somehow.
But I figure that since weed famously gives you the munchies, we'll keep having some of this.
I want Gabriel to guess. Can you guess which Girl Scout cookie box I opened? This is a nice little.
Oh, because I opened a few of these. Yeah, don't. Okay.
Perfect. Which one did you open?
Yeah, which one do you think I opened first?
Are we going to officially rank these at some point in this episode?
Yeah, I think. Probably.
I'm guessing you did tag-alongs.
Gabriel, you were 100% right.
I did
tag-alongs.
Yeah, man.
those are really good.
That? They're just that they're one of the best. Or
I mean, I think it's like. There's two that are the best,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is the go-to, is the central, if I could steal a phrase from our president, the central casting Girl Scout cookie is one of them. We'll get into it. Now, why am I being so professional? We'll get into it. Like, I don't even give, like, I give a fuck about the pretense of this show.
But you're right. I think
like if I'm listening to be like, wait, how many college basketball scholarships? Like, I don't give a fuck. Wait, why? But now, as a guest, all of a sudden, I care about the rules.
I have a guess. I bet you I know which one. I have two guesses, and I bet you it's one of the two. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get.
Should I say the two that I think it is, and don't answer?
Wait. What should we talk about here, Nick?
I think we should just start tasting these bad boys.
I'm going to guess the two, and don't tell me what one it is. You can tell me when we get to it.
Yeah.
By the way, my speech was slurring not because I'm inhibited, but because I was coughing a little bit still.
Yeah. Everyone thought they got you there. Savannah Smiles. I've never had. I don't even know.
Yes,
them.
We have some that are a little newer to the Girl Scout lineup of cookies.
Oh,
including
shit.
The Girl Scout s'mores, which I also have not had.
Oh, well, I'm starting to see. There's three that are completely new to me.
Yeah,
they are the s'mores, the Savannah Smiles, and the GF Toffee Tastics. This is exciting because I was being pretty bold before when I was talking. I was saying, like, I know which two are everyone, but there are three new things to me here, so I'm very excited.
Are we missing some of the old? There used to be.
Which one do you want?
Did you eat? Did you eat any of the rest of them? I mean, because I think this was all of them.
I didn't eat a box of Girl Scout cookies by myself.
Hey, Lenny's older, dumber brother of Mice and Men. That roast was brought to you by John Gabris. If you want a roast spoon, man, hit us up at Gmail, roastspoonman@gmail.com.
So I've had a trefoil, which is the traditional shortbread cookie.
Oh, yes.
It's a good shortbread cookie. It's a classic. It's a good execution of it.
Gabris, what I think...
What do you want? Tell me what to pass.
Just start handing me the cookies.
Yeah. Hurry.
when the ones that you were saying the two my
why
two,
are we being vague?
My two guesses are Thin Mints and Samoas, or it's one of those two.
Well, I think Tagalongs was he put in the top two.
Yes, but I'm saying his other one.
Oh, I thought when he said prototypical.
You guessed my one and three.
Right.
Okay.
When he said prototypical, or like the kind of the prototypical isn't the word we use. Whatever. Iconic Girl Scout cookie. Whatever it is. Central casting. Yes. Yeah. That made me think Thin Mints.
That is what I was referring to.
Okay.
When I think Girl Scout cookie, first thing in my, you know, Rorschach test, it's Thin Mints.
Right. I mean, it might be kind of an association, too, because, like, you know, their uniforms are green. They got it's a green box. Mitch has the tag-alongs already opened.
Tag-along,
there's three missing.
There's two loose teeth in there.
By the way...
Gamers, will you hand me just start handing me some boxes. Thank you.
I mentioned this before, but the Tagalongs, I used to think were the Tagalogs, and because they also have the other cookies that are the Samoas, and I thought they just had kind of like this Pacific Island theme with Girl Scout cookies, and I didn't really understand it, but I was like, oh, okay.
I literally had this conversation on High and Mighty.
Oh,
we,
wow.
We called them Samoas, and we were like, no way, that's what it is. I think it's samosas, and we switched it to the Indian dumpling. And we said, no, it's samosas. And then the other one, and then we said the same thing. I thought it said Tagalog.
Right.
But... Actually, the reverse happened for me. Every time I saw the word Tagalog, I thought it was Tagalong. Like, I thought that's what this was referencing.
Right.
I got everything confused.
I don't like the... Can you hand me a Toffee Tastic?
A Toffee? Which one is that?
The
thin blue line.
Yeah,
over
that's
here.
The one. And then actually, give me the trefoil. What are they?
Trefoils? Trefoils?
Trefoils, trefoils. I don't know where the emphasis goes.
Trefoils? This would be the one if you had to, like... If you had to make the BuzzFeed answer for which Girl Scout cookie are you, That's what I think Weiger is. Of the ones I've tried, right? Is Weiger the trefoil?
100%.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
One time, quick thin man story.
There's a little picture of
me.
Weiger on the
quick story. One time I ate Thin Mints instead of brushing my teeth and thought, in my head, imagined it counted. Oh my God, I was like, instead of brushing my teeth, I'm just going to eat a couple of Thin Mints and go to bed. And this was like a year and a half ago.
Why cut you off, Weiger? What were you saying about?
Oh, man.
I don't know what I was saying, but to talk cookies, we were having s'mores were being circulated. Mm-hmm. I've had the s'more. I'm now having the second one of these sandwich sort of cookies, the do-si-do, which is the peanut butter version. I'll say the s'more is pretty good. The do-si-do is like a s'more. Maybe doesn't necessarily evoke s'more to me. It isn't like I'm biting it. I'm like, oh, this tastes like a s'more, but it tastes like a good like chocolate cookie with a little graham cracker base. The do-si-do is, I feel like, good, but maybe just like a worse Nutter butter. It's not quite...
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's like nothing... It's not that exciting.
It needs a little more cream to it.
It's one that's very low in my rotation of Girl Scout cookies.
Right.
It's almost never there. That and trefoils are almost
I don't like one of the new ones. I'll tell you about it later.
Well, okay.
Especially when...
Solid teas from the Spoon Man.
I think it's the one you might have been just taking a bite out of.
Oh, yeah. That's correct.
All right.
So oh, you're saying clue. What Mitch is saying is an instant reaction to his current actions? No way. Mitch, good gorilla.
I'm not Coco or... Wait, what's the... What is...
The one from Congo?
Yeah.
Amy. Oh, yeah, Amy.
Amy.
Yeah.
Amy. Like Amy.
We're all talking about... Obviously, the Congo gorilla is the reference we're all talking about. How do we know that?
Amy... So Amy drinks a martini in that movie on the plane. But then if you look in the credits... The magician Ricky Jay is credited as a consultant on the martini drinking stunt, which is so weird because you look at it and it's just like they're just pouring liquid down a prosthetic gorilla's or like a guy in a gorilla suit's throat. Like, maybe, how complicated could that
maybe
be?
Maybe he made it look like it was floating or something. You know what I mean?
But it does. Like in the movie, it does. It's not like floating. It's not like a magic trick.
I know, but
it's
maybe that thing like needed. That like yeah the can you hand me those, Gabers?
Jesus. I'm literally about to pass a box of cookies to Nick. And he's like, oh, I didn't have those yet.
I also got two that were stuck together.
I'm eating a tag along right now.
When they're stuck together, that's one cookie, man. Hey, I watch movies. I just turned into everybody's friend from home. That's always like your non-comedy friends. Like, the funniest dude is coming, dude. You can't wait till he comes here. He's like, what's up, bros? Hey, swing. Yeah. He's hysterical. He knows every movie by heart.
And then you spend some time with him and you're like, oh, yeah, this guy is like funny. This guy's like better at comedy than most people.
This guy his guy's instincts haven't been dumbed down from 10 years of watching comedy.
Right.
And hating everything you see in comedy to the point where you don't know how to create comedy anymore.
He's not trying to have some meta take on everything. He just is like real with to what he thinks.
There were so many people in college who would repeat just lines from movies, and that drives me. That can drive me nuts. What is that orange box there, Nick?
This is the Do-si-dos. I'll pass that over.
I already got them.
I just had a tag along, which I guess this is partly also why Do-si-dos don't fare as well, as the tag alongs are just such a clearly better peanut butter cookie. They're good.
They're the intercontinental peanut butter champion of Girl Scout cookies.
And Mitch, can you send the that yellow box this way? These are the Savannah Smiles. These are the crisp semi lemon wedge cookies dusted with powdered sugar.
I already have to retry stuff because I forgot what it tastes like. Wee, man.
I need the Thin Mints, Weiger. That's the last.
Don't we all, Mitch?
That's what I need.
You got what I need.
The Savannah Smiles, I feel like, could use a little more lemon.
Yeah, I don't like it's that kind subtle. Of cookie, period.
I don't like a lemon cookie. I don't like a fruit cookie, usually.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Fuck Linza Tarts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think those are okay.
I don't like anything. I think it's maybe because growing up, like when we would go out to eat, it would be to a diner, and then dessert would be like one of those, like the cheapest thing in the diner thing, which was always like rainbow cookies or some like my, because we're always with my grandpa, and he would always get some stupid ass Italian cookie, you know, like the two green leaves, raspberry in the middle.
Some of those taste like pure shit.
Yeah, I'm like, this is fucking a dog treat. Yeah. Why am I eating this when there's fucking Oreos in the world?
We like it.
Yeah, I'm like, why is anyone eating this? They're like, it goes good with coffee. And I'm like, so does everything.
Have coffee. So does a piece of chocolate cake.
Right, yeah, which is just as unhealthy, but tastes good.
Yeah, those crazy Italian. Did you have?
Those
do you have
fucking eye ties?
I agree with you. Some of those confections are like lacking in sugar.
I agree with you. I hate Italians.
Sweet.
They're sort of like sheetrocky. You know,
right, right.
Like, you want to just like cough?
Yeah.
I think I might have got a little contact eye, but not high. But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You're stoned as fuck, dude. Your auditions are gone tomorrow. You're going to lose the Iron Man. You're never going to finish the swim in under your planned time. All right. Oh, man.
I have not. I have all the cookies in front of me. I've only tasted two. But here we go.
Keep going.
I'm having a Thin Mint Classic, exactly like I remember it. Very, very solid cookie. I mean, just really good. It depends on how much you like mint and chocolate combined. Some people can't stand it. I think it's
frozen or unfrozen.
That's what I was just about to say. Mm. There's that classic hack. I think it only works with the Thin Mints. Mm. No other cookie, no other Girl Scout cookie tastes better frozen. Mm-mm. Thin Mints, it works, but I think I prefer it. I think I prefer it frozen.
Yeah.
I think that's like peak Thin Mint. I think Thin Mint's at its strongest when it's cold.
Yeah. I mean, as far as my take, I say, do you want to build a snowman?
Jesus.
I like it frozen.
This is how you are when you're high?
We're not allowed to talk about frozen because fuck Josh Gad. Right, Mitch? Oh, yeah.
Probably, taking money out of your pockets.
Probably a super nice guy. I just want to say, fuck you, pal, and Tyler Labine, the two guys who book everything that you want.
The guys who will book these auditions.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know, while you guys are yelling at your rival, hey, fuck you, Anderson Cooper. Very talented journalist. I'm having this gluten-free one. I don't think is. I'm just not into it.
Which one is that?
The Toffee Tastic.
That was the new one I didn't like. That was my bottom. That's my bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I think just some gluten-free cookies pull off the texture. This one doesn't at all.
Well, the problem for me
very chalky
is this is going to give gluten-free like a bad rap.
Right.
Because this is such a ubiquitous snack, Girl Scout cookies. Mm. Some mom hears their daughter is gluten intolerant or whatever, gets these ones, and then it's like, oh, these suck.
Yeah, they suck.
They're pretty
bad.
But
there are good gluten-free cookies.
But a lot of them.
They hurt my teeth. The toffee hurts my teeth as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a good thing to have, because like that hard texture
mixed in there, you got about 65% of that cookie in your beard.
I know. It like exploded in my face. This is like fucking sheetrock. I'm sorry, whatever I called sheetrock before the lemon zest, this is legit sheetrock.
Yeah.
This is like hard to eat. I'm done with the tough.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Almost put my half-eaten cookie back in the box. Better hide this.
You know, I love Thin Mints, but they're not my number one cookie.
Yeah,
I love them.
My top three are kind of a floating top three.
Sorry, I was away from the mic for a second because I'm chewing so vigorously.
I think you'll be shocked at one of my top threes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right.
Emma, how's that weed treating you? You feeling pretty high there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I can't tell how high I am.
Yeah, that's something that matters.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't have to drive, right?
No, I don't have to drive.
No, you do have to leave.
I'm leaving my car here overnight.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm leaving it on the street. I parked out front.
Ugh, I don't want it on the block.
And I'm sleeping in it tonight. So I'll be sleeping in that.
Yeah.
I tried to think of what car would Nick drive as a bit. Right?
Yeah.
That's a fun, like, what on-game, character game car would you have?
I mean, do you want the actual answer?
Yeah, what do you really?
It's a Prius.
Yeah. So so sometimes the joke is the truth.
He has everything you need in there if you spend the night. There are handkerchiefs. There's, first of all, like, lotion.
And I've got some sunscreen in there.
There's lotion and
lotion and hankies.
You're suggesting I'm using my car as some sort of mobile jack shack. I won't have it.
Welcome to the sin bin, baby.
The stickiest thing on four wheels.
Let me just say this. As you call them handkerchiefs, mm-hmm. Kleenex tissues are handy to have in the car.
He's
because
right.
You do, maybe you sneeze, mm-hmm. maybe you have a coughing fit, maybe there's a spill. It can work to sop up some coffee in a pinch. It's a useful thing to have in your car.
That's what McChicken wrappers are for.
So you use them for both a pillow and to blow your nose in while you drive?
How are you feeling, Gabriel? So would you say this is like a general, like regular level of high for you?
Yeah, this is too high for me to drive.
Okay.
But, you know, this is how high I like to be.
This is how high you like to
sometimes be. Sometimes I like to get super high, but like more high. Hey, sometimes I like to get really high instead of just getting high, and that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to get super baked, but this is like good high. This is high I can handle in like a crowd or
right.
get a task done high.
I feel yeah that I mean I
poorly,
I definitely feel like
poorly but I'll
no I feel like I could do a task as well. I would just say like I maybe and maybe I thought of this I attached too much gravity to this but I was like okay I might be debilitated. I think I'm gonna smoke weed. I'm just gonna be prepared to be like basically like blackout drunk equivalent.
Right.
And instead I just feel pretty good. Yeah. I feel like pretty laid back and this is hey, things are all right. That's kind of my assessment.
That's a great assessment, by the way. I'll say weed will change your outlook on chores.
Oh, okay.
That's for sure. I love to just like when I have to do dishes or like fucking do laundry.
Yeah.
Like doing laundry means I have to leave my apartment too and I can go around the back, so it's even more ideal.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I might as well just smoke a joint while I'm back here. And then you just with the help of Siri alarm function, you just get your laundry done. You do the like, but I have to constantly go like, and I like to cook stone too.
Right. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So then I'll like, hey Siri, in 8 minutes, remind me check the eggs. You know, like I'm just like, but I need her constantly because I'll just end up being like, that's the only drawback is the lack of focus.
When oh, I sure.
And I'll just be like looking at my, I'll have like 11 Pornhub tabs open, and then it'll like smell like burned bacon in the whole apartment. And I'll be like, oh my god, I put bacon in an hour ago, and I'm like neck deep in conversation. Is this? Are they actual mother and daughter? You think? You know? Oh fuck the bacon.
Yeah, I mean I do just like the progress that I feel from doing chores already, but this seems like an added incentive.
Dude, throw Gamers,
that's funny to me. Your horniness, your horny levels are up when you're high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that,
never
sure.
like never it was I mean also low T.
Yeah, you don't preach our choir.
Mr. No Tea.
My doctor recommended I... Never mind. I was going to say something that I think was problematic, so I'm proud of myself right now.
Whatever you're imagining is not as bad as what Gabrus would have actually yeah. said. So.
Yeah, and that's how comfortable I am is that someone's like, well, I bet he said this. I'm like, that's nothing. That's what my tattoo said.
Getting high never did that as much. I mean, getting drunk more so, but yeah getting high didn't get me in the mood, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no, I think it does a little bit for me. I get a little horny.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
You should. Just talking about all the Bear fans and how I get horny when I'm high. I'm just thirst trapped. This entire episode, especially if you like hearing a guy smack fucking Thin Mints around in his giant ass maws. What the fuck am I talking about?
Hey, you know, speaking of Thin Mints, let's get to ranking these bad boys.
Yeah, let's talk.
So
I have my rankings.
Oh, how should we do this? I mean, I guess we can just sort of line them up here.
Should we each say our top three and let the dialogue start from there?
That's maybe a good way to go, and then we can talk about our Hall of Shame as well.
And that's super self-serving because I have three that kind of float around that are gimmies as to what are the best.
Well, lead us off then, Gabrus. Let us know.
Wire, it's funny when you're high because you lose a little control of the show, but then I'm not helpful at all.
Yeah, you're not picking up this. You're not picking up the slack in the slightest.
I might as well be high with you guys. I'm acting the same way. All right, I'm going to say my top three.
This is super helpful. We faced all the nutrition facts towards Nick and I. So
right.
Not only can we not read what the cookie is, Oh, this is the one I liked best.
Also, to be fair, Emma and I can barely see what they are as well.
Yeah, this is like a stoned project where it's unnecessary.
This is so much better.
I'll do a quick recap and for our audience as well.
We got
the Tagalongs, the S'mores, mm-hmm. the Samoas, the Do-Si-Dos, which are the peanut butter sandwich cookies, the Toffee-Tastic, which is gluten-free, the Trefoils, which are the shortbread, the Thin Mints, and then finally, we've got the Savannah Smiles, which are these lemon wedges dusted with confectioner's sugar.
All right. I always thought a Savannah Smile was a vagina. Because it's a little smile down south. Right?
Right.
Anyone else?
You're taking that with a blue collar comedy tour, right?
Weiger's really on board with that.
If you told me I could make like a decent coin for 1 year doing that, I would gladly go. You know?
Oh, for sure.
I would love that shit.
I think we would maybe lose you to the. You would be so embraced. I think we would maybe lose you to it.
I joke, but I'm like 1 year away from being like Johnny Long Island and. touring bars in the tri-state area and doing like fucking karaoke
opening for Artie Lang.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so what were your top three, Gabrus?
Top three and sort of floating on moods are Tagalongs, Samoas, and Thin Mints.
Yeah.
And I think I might be, you know, I'm sure everyone can tweet at me how wrong I am, but I feel like those are maybe the classic top three. Mm-hmm. Or three the... But maybe I'm just being so myopic.
For my third place one, I almost have to give a tie because I think people will be mad if I say that this three before. But number one for me, also Tagalongs, mm-hmm. which I broke into before any of the recording started.
Gotta.
Samoas, number two. We're hand-holding right now. Three. Now we are
they're literally physically holding hands.
There's soup in between our hands now.
And it's bisque. It's bisque, baby. Nothing's over. Just give me something to drink.
Those weird claymation Rocky commercials.
Those
is that what they were?
Yeah.
Those were so strange.
And Frank Sinatra, too.
Oh, and Frank Sinatra. Hey,
Coolio's in one of them dropping a hip hop beat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those were fucking weird.
Yeah.
It seems like the iced tea hasn't had a big. Comeback. I mean, I think everyone now likes kind of plain, like just like a black tea.
You're saying like the tea brands, like the bottled ones.
Brisk and everything. There was that big, the big ice lemon iced tea,
right.
Craze of the 1990.
I mean, Snapple dominated Long Island,
yep. Right?
Dialogue for 20, and it still does. But like Snapple is like, you're just like, oh, this is so good for me, and
right?
Then, like, yeah. It takes you to like. 10 years later, you're like, I was drinking fucking Mango Madness.
Yeah,
it was so much syrup. Sugar. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think I
got a couple of diet Snapple iced teas in my fridge.
And peach.
Yes, peach.
Diet peach.
The diet peach
is great, and then also the lemonade / iced tea.
The Arnie Palmer.
The Arnold Palmer. Like only 10 calories, and it's good. I mean, I'm sure it's not good for you, but
no,
whatever.
I'm gonna take that fucking peach iced tea though.
There's only Arnold Palmer. You can have one. Please do.
You should have fucking lied about having peach iced tea in there.
I swear to God.
You lied about having peach iced tea in there to me.
You said there was one in there.
Oh, no, no, no. I get them. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that there was one. I, like that, those are the ones that I currently buy.
Oh, okay.
Buy.
Mitch, the fact that you're apologizing is upsetting to me. That's making me uncomfortable.
Well, also, I want the podcast world to know that I was intimidated and afraid that you were going to beat the shit out of me.
Over peach diet iced tea. Diet peach iced tea. What's your third? I'm sorry.
My third is a tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's plain, just like Weiger. But you know what? I like Weiger. The Trefoils.
Oh, hey, how about that?
Really?
And the Thin Mints.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a tie. I mean, but I like the honestly, those are the Trefoils. I feel like I'm saying it wrong, but those are. I think they're good.
Yeah,
I agree. They're very classic Girl Scout cookies to me. I feel like I remember eating those as a kid.
Those yes. would go wonderfully with coffee.
Yeah, they are. Yes. They are good. And here's what one thing
better
I like
than
about
any Italian cookie.
Yeah, right. Better than any of that rainbow bullshit.
One thing I like about the Trefoil. Serving size 5 cookies. They're not Whoa. Fucking around. Treat oh, yeah. yourself.
S'mores is 2 cookies.
Yeah. So yeah, you can binge on these.
Oh,
I mean you can't. It's unhealthy as any of these. We can have a few more of them. So my rankings, I put one Samoas.
Wow,
and I like the Tagalongs a lot. They're my number two. But the reason I put Samoas over them is because I think Samoas innovate. They offer something that you can't get from other cookies the rest of the year.
My one and two could flop easily.
Yeah,
I
that's how I feel.
Yeah.
So my third place in years past probably would have been the Thin Mint. Might have been a Trefoil. Mm-hmm. Certainly wouldn't have been a do-si-do. But this year, I'm putting in a third place. The bronze medal gets the Girl Scout S'mores, which I thought was a good sandwich cookie that is unique. And it's a new texture for Girl Scouts. Absolutely, yeah. So I think they're doing a good job.
I thought you were about to put in third place the Girl Scouts themselves.
I will say, Weigert, this would be my fourth.
Yeah, it's good.
This is like a rapid, and I've had a handful at this point.
Guys, I got to say to you, I don't like the s'mores.
Wow.
Yeah. I definitely.
You know why I like them? I'm just realizing. You said Nutter Butter about that.
Yes.
This reminds me of the shit. I just lost it.
E.L. Fudge?
No, it's not E.L. Fudge. It's their sandwich. It'll come to me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Back to it.
They're not terrible. I mean, for the only really bad cookie was the toffee crunch or
whatever. That one's real whack.
What was it called? Toffee? Is it toffee crunch?
It's the gluten free toffee-tastic.
Toffee-tastic. Not good. Bad name too.
It really is.
I mean, like, Trefoils is a bad name, but it's still better.
Well, it's distinct, and it sounds like it has some association with this, you know, with the Girl Scouts.
I would say next is, for me, is the Nutter Butter ones, right? The Nutter Butter.
The Do-Si-Dos?
The Do-Si-Dos, and then probably the lemon ones, and then the s'mores, and then toffee all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emma, what do you think? Any favorites here?
The Samoas have always been my favorite.
Right.
But on the East Coast now, they don't come as Samoas. They come as Caramel Delights.
Whoa, okay.
But I think it's the same cookie.
Okay.
Wait, like Hellman's and Best Foods are the same mayonnaise?
I think there was like something about the name Samoas was like culturally insensitive or something.
Oh, interesting.
I'm pretty sure it is, right?
Yeah.
That's just like, I guess I'm trying to think what would be an equivalent. Like that's like eating a cookie called Chinese. Like,
yeah, like it doesn't seem. I mean,
but it's like plural too. So that's the layer of it. It's like, but it, you also, it, it's not. They're not called Samoans.
Yeah,
they're called Samoas. So it's
right,
a little.
Right.
It's kind of like it's kind of like a cookie called Puerto Ricans. It's like this is like it's a little weird.
Yeah,
but not exactly the same. I don't know. I don't know how. It maybe feels like should be offensive, but it isn't.
Is it technically? Yeah. Would it be called Puerto Ricos?
That's what it would be. Yes,
Puerto Ricos.
Yes. Puerto Ricos.
So yeah. Which kind of makes it less offensive than? It's definitely less offensive than Puerto Ricans,
right?
Yeah.
Then you're not saying the person is the cookie, but now you're saying like this cookie is the country.
Part of it is you're trying to figure it out. Maybe that's like.
Is there an offense? I mean,
I don't know if it is or
not. Doesn't seem that offensive to me. Well, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it is.
It might be offensive to Samoans.
Why am I going out on a limb here? Who knows? It could be.
The three of us should be the arbiter of this.
I always find myself saying that. I'm like, that's not offensive. Wait, hold on. Yeah. Someone else let me know if that's offensive.
But
I should never be the judge of what's offensive. I've been wrong every time.
The Yaku is not offensive, as we know. My mascot.
Oh, boy.
My school's mascot.
Right.
And neither is this the Samoas. Who knows? Someone knows the mystery to that. They'll tweet it at us.
I'm just in my head realizing what it would be like to be someone who's a guest on the Doughboys for the first time. And I'm just like, this is an insane thing. You sit facing a wall at a glass table, and Mitch goes, ooh, Yakuza might be offensive. If you don't know what the fuck, this is insane. And now I can like picture what was going through Hubel's mind or something like that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I could tell what was going through his mind by the amount of times he checked his watch.
So he's like, how long are these usually? 2 hours? Fuck, okay. Really? 2 hours of someone's time. Okay.
Hey, if you out there know what Girl Scout what the origin of Samoas is, hashtag Samoas etymology. Give us a little feedback on where that came from, because I think we're all curious about it.
Well, you're so much more fun while you're high.
Well, that was more fun?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay, I see.
It's not hard for Nick to be more fun.
Hey, if you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys.
You're calling
it? I think it's about
Vienna Fingers.
Vienna Fingers, that's what it was.
That's what I wanted to say before. That's what the s'mores are reminding me of, and I think that's why I'm enjoying that.
Right. Yeah. They don't have chocolate inside of them, but it is a similar flavor profile.
I think the cracker part, the cookie part, has got that little kind of grahamness to it.
John Gabris, thank you so much for joining us.
It's time for Weiger to go drive into the LA River.
I hope this. I don't know if I I feel like people are going to be like, oh, Weiger's getting high. There's going to be something, and then I don't feel like I'm noticeably tripping balls, man. Yeah, like I feel
now
like
now imagine you can finally do an improv scene about getting high. Every improv scene is always like, whoa, and I'm like, don't you guys smoke weed? it's an insane. Like anytime there's pot in a scene, everyone's like, whoa, and it's like, but when you do a bar scene, it's not like everyone's immediately like,
right.
Some people do that. Yeah, some performers.
Everyone's a fucking those musical theater kids that come do improv. It's for us street kids.
Gabrus, thank you for joining us. High and Mighty is your podcast.
Yes, on the HeadGum Network. Yes, where we're bros now.
And Action Boys as well. Patreon.com/Action Boys.
Oh,
with a Z. Check both those out. Anything else you'd like to plug?
No, that's about it. I got a small scene in Game Over Man. So if you're a bear chaser, you know.
And there was a
prosthetic ass. And UTK kept like Instagramming on his Instagram story that it was a fake ass, and I'm like, he's probably getting stuff of like, hey, are you eating butts? And so he's like, it's a prosthetic ass. So I'm like putting it out there too, just so not everyone, I want everyone to, you know, jack off accordingly.
I'll tell you what else you see. I texted you about it immediately. Is old Adam's.
Yeah, Devine's got his hog out in the movie.
Devine's got quite a guy on him there.
Yeah, there's a reason why I think he wrote a movie where he pulls his schvance out.
It's insane.
He's got a hammer.
The thing is gigantic.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing that happens at 46 minutes and 22 seconds into the film. That'll do it for this episode
of
No Boys.
Nick is over at my Apple TV trying to push an on button.
I'm trying to queue up the still.
I got to plug something.
Oh, you got something to plug? Go for it, Mitch.
Check out, it's on Amazon, Little Big Awesome. I did a voice on it.
Oh, right. It's an animated show.
Yeah.
Our friend Jess McKenna is also on that show, correct?
Yeah, and Ben Gruber.
Ben's an old friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Ben's a good dude.
Yeah, he was a producer on he was a writer and a producer on the show The Substitute that I hosted on MTV. I like that dude.
He's a great guy. He's going to come on the show at some point.
Yeah. Everyone check
out about candy. It's kind of, sorry, Gruber, that was a terrible impression of you. But you do kind of sound like that.
That'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for the Spoonman, Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating, buddy.
Oh, my God. See ya.
Versus.
Hey, guys. You want more Doughboys?
To get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club.
Sign up at patreon.com/Doughboys.
Do it.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.